This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use patient hearing when a difficult person cries, shouts, or shuts down emotionally. A field-tested process for staying present when emotions take over. In short, patient hearing practice is the one skill that keeps a difficult conversation from collapsing into crisis. When someone cries, shouts, or goes silent, most people react in ways that make things worse. Stay present, resist the pull to fix or defend, and give the emotion somewhere to land before you say anything at all. Emotional flooding requires space, not solutions. Your body language speaks before your words do. The steps that follow have been tested in the hardest conversations. Definition: patient hearing practice is the deliberate discipline of remaining fully present and attentive while another person expresses intense emotion, without interrupting, redirecting, or defending. It creates the conditions for genuine understanding before any resolution is possible, and it is the foundation of every difficult conversation done well. What it actually costs you to stay present. I watched a manager lose a talented employee in a single afternoon. Not because of a policy dispute or a pay disagreement. She walked into his office upset, started to cry, and he handed her a box of tissues and changed the subject. He meant well. He was simply terrified of her tears and had no system for what to do next. She felt dismissed in the most fundamental way a person can feel dismissed. She resigned 3 weeks later. Patient hearing practice is genuinely hard, not because the steps are complicated, but because every natural instinct you have pulls you in the wrong direction when someone in front of you becomes emotionally overwhelmed. When someone shouts, your body wants to shout back or shut down. When someone cries, you feel the pull to comfort, redirect, or escape. When someone goes completely silent, you fill the space with words just to end the discomfort. All of these reactions are understandable. All of them break the connection you need to make the conversation work. The difficulty is not the other person. The difficulty is you. Before you begin, what needs to be true first? There are two things that need to be in place before any of the steps below will help you. The first is self-awareness. You need to know your own triggers well enough to notice when your nervous system is spiking. If someone's anger makes you freeze, or someone's tears make you panic, that reaction will override every technique you have learned. Understanding what an amygdala hijack looks like in real time is worth doing before you find yourself in a difficult conversation without that knowledge. The second is basic physical composure. Patient hearing is not possible if your jaw is clenched, your shoulders are at your ears, and your breathing is shallow. These things signal threat, and the other person reads them even when they are not fully conscious of doing so. Before the conversation, especially if you know it will be difficult, take 60 seconds to breathe slowly and lower your shoulders. That small act changes what you are capable of. The step-by-step process for patient hearing. Step 1. Stop moving and anchor yourself. The moment you sense that someone is beginning to flood emotionally, stop whatever else you're doing. Put down your pen, close your laptop. Turn your body toward them fully. Do not fidget. This physical act signals that the conversation has shifted and you are present for it. It sounds simple, but most people underestimate how much the other person reads from the stillness of your body. Stillness communicates safety. Movement communicates distraction, discomfort, or impatience. If you are standing, consider sitting. Being at the same physical level removes an element of power differential that can feel threatening to someone who's already emotionally activated. Step 2. Let that emotion come without filling the space. This is where most people fail. Someone starts to cry or raise their voice, and the listener rushes in. Let's just calm down, or I understand, but or don't worry, it will be fine. Every one of those responses, however kind the intention, tells the person their emotion is a problem to be managed rather than a truth to be heard. Stay quiet. Let the wave come and let it pass. If someone is crying, do not rush them. If someone is shouting, do not match their volume or try to interrupt the surge with logic. The emotion needs somewhere to go. Your silence gives it that space. This does not mean you are passive. You are actively containing the moment, which takes more strength than speaking. Step 3. Signal that you are with them, without words. While the other person is in the middle of an emotional peak, your voice is less useful than your body. A slow nod. Eye contact that is steady, but not aggressive. A posture that leans slightly forward, not away. These things communicate. I am here. I am not leaving. You are safe to feel this. If someone has gone completely silent and withdrawn, the same principle applies. Do not crowd them with eye contact. Sit with them, quietly present, without demanding they perform recovery for your comfort. For teams where trust has been fragile, building psychological safety is a longer project beneath every difficult conversation. But in the moment itself, your nonverbal signals are the only currency you have. Step 4. Acknowledge before you explain anything. When the acute emotion begins to subside, your first words matter more than anything you will say in the rest of the conversation. This is not the moment for your perspective. It is the moment for acknowledgement. Name what you observed, not what you want the other person to feel. There is a clean script for this, and it works. I can hear how much this has been weighing on you. That clearly matters to you deeply, and I want to understand it properly. I am not going anywhere. Take the time you need. What you are not saying, I understand completely. You do not know that yet. What you are saying is, what you are feeling is real, and I'm taking it seriously. That difference matters to the person in front of you even when they cannot articulate why. Empathy bridges are precisely this, a short phrase that closes the gap between someone's emotional state and your readiness to engage with them. They are not agreement, they are connection. Step 5. Ask one open question, quietly. Once the worst of the emotion has passed and your acknowledgement has landed, you've earned the right to ask a question. Not several. 1. Make it open, make it soft, and make it about their experience, not about the fact you want to establish. What has this been like for you? Can you help me understand what happened from your side? What do you most need from me right now? If the person shut down and has not yet re-engaged, this question gives them a door back into the conversation on their terms. You are not demanding anything. You are offering an opening. Sometimes they take it immediately. Sometimes they need another beat of silence first. Let them have it. If your team encounters this kind of withdrawal regularly, it is worth reading about how to respond when a team member shuts down in the context of high-pressure discussions, where the dynamic carries additional stakes. Step 6. Reflect back what you heard. After they speak, before you respond with your own view, reflect back the substance of what was said, not a word-for-word repeat. A genuine summary of what you understood, including the emotional weight, not just the facts. So if I have understood you right, you have been feeling overlooked on this for weeks, and today was the point where it became too much to hold. Is that close? This step is where patient hearing becomes demonstrably different from simply waiting for your turn to speak. Reflective listening proves to the other person that their words actually landed, rather than bouncing off a polite surface. It also corrects your own misreadings before they compound into a bigger misunderstanding. Step 7. Invite the conversation forward. Only now, after acknowledgement and reflection, do you move into problem-solving, explanation, or your own perspective. The temptation to skip to this step is enormous, especially when you have information that would help or a perspective that feels urgent. Resist it. If appropriate, check whether the person is ready. Would it help to talk through what we might do from here? Or do you need a bit more time first? Sometimes, especially after a significant emotional release, the best thing you can do is agree to continue the conversation later that day or the following morning, when both of you have more ground under your feet. When the conversation happens remotely, patient hearing on a video call is harder in specific ways, and worth preparing for differently. The absence of shared physical space means you cannot offer stillness in the same way. What you can do is make your attention visible. Keep your face centered on screen. Do not look at your notes or type while they speak. Mute all notifications before the call starts, not during it. The most common failure in remote emotional conversations is the reaction face. People forget they are visible. A slight wince, a glance away, an expression of discomfort at the wrong moment, these things are magnified on a small screen in a way they would not be across a table. Watch your own expression with the same attention you give your words. If someone shuts down on a video call, silence can feel more alarming than in person, because the absence of ambient sound makes it feel like disconnection. Say simply, "I am still here." Take whatever time you need. Then stay visible, stay still, and wait. Distributed and remote teams face these situations regularly, and the patterns often connect to broader dynamics around how teams respond to defensive reactions under pressure. Responding to defensive team members on feedback shares some of the same emotional terrain. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where patient hearing goes wrong. These are the patterns I have seen most often, and made myself more than once. The mistake: rushing to comfort rather than to hear. Why it happens: discomfort with another person's distress makes us want to resolve it quickly. What to do instead? Stay with the emotion rather than moving past it. I can see this is really painful before any attempt to soothe. The mistake: turning acknowledgement into argument. Why it happens: the person's account of events contains inaccuracies or unfairness that feel urgent to correct. What to do instead? Note your corrections mentally. Return to them after the emotional temperature has dropped and you have acknowledged their experience first. The mistake: mistaking silence for resolution. Why it happens: when a person goes quiet, we assume the worst is over and begin talking. What to do instead? Let the silence breathe. Check in gently. Are you okay to continue? Do not assume quiet means ready. The mistake: using body language that contradicts your words. Why it happens: physical discomfort shows up in voluntarily crossed arms, leaning back, looking at the floor. What to do instead? Prepare your body before the conversation. Shoulders down, feet on the floor, hands open or resting. Practice this, because under pressure it does not happen automatically. When these failures compound across a group, they can signal a larger problem. Signs that emotional reactions are disrupting team function are worth knowing, because what looks like one person's difficulty is sometimes a pattern running through the whole group. Your patient hearing checklist. Use this before and during any conversation where emotion is likely to surface. Before the conversation: number 1. Have you taken 60 seconds to regulate your own breathing and lower your physical tension? Number 2. Do you know your own trigger points well enough to notice when they activate? Number 3. Have you cleared the space of distractions, phones, and interruptions during the conversation? Number 1. Are you sitting still, fully turned toward the person, with an open posture? Number 2. Are you letting the emotion run its course before you respond? Number 3. Are you tracking nonverbal signals as carefully as you are tracking words? Number 4. Have you acknowledged what you observed before offering any perspective of your own? Number 5. Have you reflected back what you heard before moving into problem solving after the acute emotion passes? Number 1. Did you ask one open question rather than several? Number 2. Did you check whether the person is ready to continue or needs time? Number 3. Have you noted anything you want to return to once the conversation is calmer? This checklist is a preparation tool, not a performance script. The goal is to build the habit of patient hearing so thoroughly that you no longer need the list. But in the early stages of practice, it keeps you honest. For conversations that involve more than one difficult relationship in the same space, the discipline of patient hearing underpins every other skill. Mediating between two team members requires you to hold patient hearing with two people simultaneously, which is a different level of demand again. The only way this gets easier: patient hearing practice does not become natural because you understand it. It becomes natural because you do it, imperfectly, in real conversations, and you repair the ones you get wrong. I have walked out of difficult conversations knowing I jumped in too fast, defended too soon, or made the other person feel managed rather than heard. Those moments taught me more than any well-handled conversation ever did. The repair after a failure is itself an act of patient hearing, going back to someone and saying, "I don't think I heard you properly the first time. I would like to try again." That, more than any step or script, is what patient hearing practice looks like over a lifetime. You build the discipline slowly, conversation by conversation, season by season. The ground hardens under your feet the more you work it. Frequently asked questions. What is patient hearing practice? Patient hearing practice is the deliberate discipline of staying fully present and silent while another person expresses strong emotion, without interrupting, fixing, or defending. It requires you to hold steady through discomfort so the other person feels genuinely heard before any problem solving begins. How do you use patient hearing when someone is shouting at you? Stay physically still, lower your voice rather than raising it, and resist the urge to defend yourself. Let the wave pass. Acknowledge what you heard before responding to any content. Saying something like, "I can hear how frustrated you are," does more good than any counterargument. at the moment. Why does patient hearing feel so difficult in emotional conversations? Because your own nervous system responds to someone else's emotional flooding as a threat. Your instinct is to fix, flee, or fight back. Patient hearing asks you to override that instinct and stay present, which takes real practice and deliberate preparation before the conversation happens. What should you say when someone shuts down emotionally? Speak quietly, reduce pressure, and give them a way back into the conversation without making them feel watched. Try, take your time, I am not going anywhere. Avoid demanding they speak or repeatedly asking what is wrong. Silence, offered with warmth, is often the most useful thing you can give. How is patient hearing different from just staying quiet? Staying quiet is passive. Patient hearing is active and deliberate. You're tracking the other person's emotion, managing your own reactions, and signalling with your posture and expression that you're fully present. The difference shows in your body language, your breathing, and what you say when you do speak. Can you use patient hearing in remote or video conversations? Yes, but it requires more effort. You must keep your face visible and your expression open because the person cannot read your body language fully. Mute notifications, hold eye contact with the camera lens, and resist the urge to type notes while they speak. Your full attention must be visible on screen. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.